by Christopher Lee, featuring Julian Glover as Sir Charles Bannister and Peter Kelly as Dougal Baxter.
That wasn't bad at all, Charles.
You having a pudding?
Just coffee.
Polly tells me you're on a diet.
Oh, does she indeed?
Nothing wrong, I hope.
Simply being a little careful.
As long as it's not the food. I'm on the catering committee. You did know that, didn't you?
I think we all do. No, nothing wrong with the food. It's that lot that bothers me. Look at them.
Members or the staff?
Members of Parliament. Look at them eat.
Modern man, Charles. Bad table manners are now considered necessary. Shows you've been successful. Anyway, don't forget, you're chairman, not God.
Maybe, but I'll make a good fist of being his tailor.
Put them all in stiff collars and spats. Halifax and Dalton would have adored you.
Yeah, I'd love to ban those ridiculous double-breasted suits.
So you keep telling me. But don't forget, this party invented the double-breasted suit.
Built by good tailors, yes, not these off-the-peg bin liners they wear now.
Daily dress orders, eating by numbers, arms firmly tucked into sides. Isn't that taking this image-making too far?
You really think so, old man?
Of course. Besides, our bombardier's all for the classless and common man.
There's a difference between being class-ridden and having none whatsoever.
We've managed so far.
I'm beginning to believe Tom Bowman's view. He says that we've hung on because the other lot didn't look credible.
Last week you were telling me it was policies, not candidates.
Well, it should be both. We provide the policies, they get out and sell them. They're part of our image.
Single-breasted and liberty print families may look good on paper, but you can't change our colleagues overnight.
We can.
Oh, that would mean deselection and telling local parties which candidates to pick. They'd never buy that.
We'll see.
You'd have a fight on your hands.
Perhaps that's exactly what I need.
And if you lost?
It'd be a damn sight better than sitting here watching these transparent food blenders masquerading as MPs.
Isn't there a danger, Charles, that you pick the ideal image and end up cloning it? Everyone looks the same. No one is taken seriously.
Mary calls it IB.
Huh?
Image balancing. She says the trick is to balance someone's image against the product. In our case, the party.
Charles, your job is to get the party machine running, not to tell MPs what to wear and what to say when they're wearing it.
We'll see about that. I've restructured front office. Now I intend to make sure we pick the right candidates and get the right people in here.
Is this wise?
If there's an election and we win, yes.
And if we don't?
Then Mary will tell me the image lost its balance, and I'll buy a plumed hat and become the next governor of Waikikakau or wherever.
Sorry. Go back to sleep.
All right. Oh, hello. What's,
Half past 12. Just in time for the shipping forecast.
Half past? You're late.
The prince will be along with a shoe in the morning.
What shoe?
Never mind. Sorry. Everyone banged on quite a bit. But it was fun.
Until gone midnight.
If that's what it is, Charles, then so it did.
A little late for fun, I'd say.
Of course you would, darling. Then you're not a publisher.
What's that got to do with it? Still late, especially for dinner.
You know what publishers are like. Never happy until the bill's big enough to feed the third world for a week.
You could have left. He would have understood.
So I could.
Then why didn't you?
I was having a good time. All right?
Oh.
Absolutely. Anyway, they were terribly excited about my new book.
Oh, good.
Better than no good, darling. They're talking about a sequel. And I haven't finished this one yet.
Isn't that a little risky these days?
Yes, that's what's so nice about it. For a few hours, I quite forgot I was supposed to be pushing 50 and mumsy.
You're nowhere near 50.
Depends if you're a biologist or a historian.
And you're most certainly not whatever it was you said you were.
Mumsy? I feel it. Especially when everyone treats me as if I'm jolly good at skivvying. Pretty nifty with a supermarket trolley, and that's about it.
I don't think that.
Thank you, darling. That's very generous.
Who else was there?
Oh, a couple of other authors. An agent I'd never met and my new editor.
What's he like?
She's very nice.
Woman?
They tend to be.
Editor?
She's.
Oh, right.
Oh, and your friend, Miss Cameron.
Tonight?
Yes. It's quite a comfort to know where she was.
Mary.
Hmm?
Why was she there?
Invited, presumably.
Why presumably?
Her reputation is for gate-crashing more intimate arrangements than dinners at Groucho's. isn't it?
Good night.
She's apparently writing a book. But then aren't they all?
What sort of book?
The way she was talking about some of her former colleagues joined up vitriol, I imagine.
Did you speak to her?
No, darling, she spoke to me. Rather thrusting, I thought. You know she's about to be launched as a sketch writer.
Yes, it was in the paper.
Won't that be fun for you?
I don't see why.
Oh, I do. Anyway, I'm going to have a shower. Shall I turn out the light?
No, it's all right. I'll wait now.
Now you know how I feel.
About what?
It's usually little old me tucked up with soft centres and this month's erotic recipe.
I was home straight after the vote.
There's a good boy.
I'd forgotten you were out.
Never mind, Charles. I'm used to that.
I told him you were here. He's only down with Mr. Baxter.
Oh, where's he to, then?
Where?
Where's his office? Is it far?
Oh, where you come through from the chamber behind the speaker's chair, you know.
No, not done that.
Oh, I keep forgetting you weren't in this place.
I suspect the sergeant-at-arms would have me to the tower if he knew I was here now. Yes?
As long as it's before prayers, you're not obvious, no one really minds.
We're not nearly so fussy in the Lords. Far more democratic.
Can't afford to be anything but, can you? You're not exactly there by popular request.
You could say the same about a lot of MPs.
Oh, I do.
Party spokesman told the time.
And they know it. I'd give half of them the chop if I had my way.
I bet you would, too.
About one will do. Bye, Charles.
Sorry I'm late, Tom. What's that?
Hello, Willow. Rose and I were gassing. We're into political castrations. Any candidates?
That's our problem. At the moment, far too many eunuchs. Right. Any messages?
Oh, number 10's confirmed lunch, Sunday. I've confirmed you'll be at today's cabinet, and Lady Bannister wants you to call.
About what?
Didn't say. Not urgent, but will you?
Fine, thank you. Nothing for 20 minutes, okay?
You want the car, or are you walking over to 10?
Walking, thanks. Now, Tom, we have a problem.
You can trust me, I'm a doctor.
I'm serious.
I'm sorry, my love.
It's time to rethink your role. Not your fault. You're doing what you were asked to do.
Backslap and tickle when necessary, yes?
Roughly, yes.
Well, what's the problem, then?
We need a more serious approach, and this is the difficult part. I want to review the way in which you're using young Nick.
You wouldn't like to rephrase that, would you?
Please.
You've got your straight face on, haven't you?
I need it.
What then?
It's about you trotting through the countryside jollying up the troops.
Well, that's working.
I believe we're in danger of being too successful. You, as you put it, slap their backs and everyone...
gets giggly.
Exactly. And then when ministers start laying down party policies on heavy subjects, such as the economy and Europe...
Boring, they cry. So a boss says you dipped out, does he?
The bombardier says he appreciates what you're doing, but somehow you've got to channel your energies into slightly heavier subjects.
Oh, so it's down to me.
We think you should be pointing up, was the phrase he used, pointing up some of the more positive aspects of European policy.
Well, that's no problem. You know me, I'm all for Europe.
Telling the faithful about your house in Umbria and the flat in Paris isn't exactly what I have in mind.
Could be a bit mad.
There does appear to be a growing divide between what you're doing and the rail politique of Westminster.
Image is all wrong.
Yes, but I'm not yet certain of the answer.
It's like O'Brien's policeman who took on the personality of his bicycle. When he stopped to talk, he balanced in the gutter with one foot on the curb.
That was fiction. We're not. Not yet, anyhow.
It was. Image.
Come on, Tom.
Now, listen. Once the image was accepted, then everyone started to believe it just might be true.
This is the real world of 4 more years unemployment figures and an election at the end of them.
Like the policeman and his bike, once we get the image sold, then however incredible the message, the punter wants to give us the benefit of the doubt.
I agree about images, I've told you that.
It's more than funny suits and the too well lunched look. Now, listen, I've got one for you. It is all about IB. Image balancing.
Balancing someone's image against the product.
Oh, very good. 10 out of 10.
Tell me, Tom, where does this hypothesis, this image balancing, come from?
That's organically homegrown. No textbooks, no thinky tank slurry spread on this one. All my own work.
We won't have a draft until later, but if you tell him...
The JFK idea, he'll know.
Mr. Baxter says tell him the JFK idea.
JF what?
No, F for Freddie, K...
Oh, sorry, as in Kennedy, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I know Sir Charles is coming over later. Will it be ready then?
No, I shouldn't think so. Nick's only just started. Just hang on a moment. Nick?
Speak.
When will the draft be ready?
A couple of hours.
No, it won't, but there'll be something to show him, okay?
I'll tell him. Bye.
Bye now.
You realise this is very important.
Dougal, everything you do is very important.
There's no need for sarcasm.
Well, that wasn't. I was simply seeing it from your point of view.
Here you go, Chief. The main headings. Want to check them out?
Thank you. Charles and I have discussed this at some length, you know.
So you keep telling us.
You need to understand that the PM is looking to me to start a new debate. That's very important.
Europe's hardly new. The new bid is your sudden conversion. You make Saul look like Thomas.
Aquinas or Doughty?
Oh, very clever. But personally, I don't see you as the angelic doctor.
Dumb ox.
What? What's that?
Dumb ox. Thomas Aquinas. That's what some of the nasties called him. Only his acolytes call him angelic doctor.
Well, that's what acolytes are for.
So don't you forget it.
I think I prefer angelic doctor.
As you're hardly a candidate for canonization, let's worry about this speech instead of which monastery is likely to claim your funny bone as a holy relic.
Wait a minute, Nick. You know about Thomas Aquinas, do you?
Oh, so-so. Had to do his summer theologia thing in my second year.
Could you not find me a quote from this thing?
No probs.
That's all right, as long as no one asks you questions about it.
My dear Kay, I'm giving a speech, not a seminar. Anyway, the main theme will be the attraction.
Assuming there is one, an attraction, that is.
Why not? We'll make sure the lobby gets all the right hints before I make it. They'll start trailing it for me. They're very obliging.
I'm having a jar with one of them this evening.
There you are. Once you've dropped the hint that I'm signalling a shift in Number 10's policy, then, well...
You'll be hero.
Of course.
Or shot at.
That's what heroes are for. But the rewards are great.
As long as they're not in heaven.
That's your job, Nick, to make sure the bells peal and not toll.
Talking of which, what's Kennedy got to do with this?
Nick?
His inaugural speech. You know, ask and ask what your country can do for you.
But Kennedy was talking about the United States, not Europe.
The United States of Europe.
That's anathema to the whole country.
Right, so we say, stop asking what you can get out of Europe. Start thinking what you can put into it.
Why should anyone want to?
If you put in your ideas, then Europe becomes what you want it to be. Not what some failed French politician wants.
You think they'll buy it?
Of course.
They won't like it in Brussels.
Well, that's why it's good. They'll know it's the start of a Brits versus the Commission war. It'll get right up their noses.
And we all know that when Number 10 takes on the Commission, up go the ratings. Of course it's good. You just wait.
How often are you doing it?
Starting Tuesday, 4 days a week.
I didn't know you could ride.
I was good enough to upset the commissariat. Writing a parliamentary sketch should be pretty simple.
Well, you didn't have to resign. Some members have written far worse things about their own front benches.
Frankly, Chang, I feel free.
Oh.
But you wouldn't understand. You'd be lost without this place.
Not lost, but I'd be extraordinarily sad if I had to leave.
Don't worry. When your time comes, it'll be a life peerage and you'll simply change gear.
I wonder if you'll feel left out of things. You'll sit up there in the gallery seeing it all, but you won't be able to touch.
Maybe. Well, don't worry. I'll survive.
I've always thought the gallery rather like the Roman throng waiting for one of the gladiators to fall.
If that means, are you talking to a fully paid-up journalist who'll report your every word, then the answer is no, I won't.
But the temptation must be there.
For what? Inside information? Using old friends? Forget it, that's not my bag.
Not yet, it isn't.
Oh, that's very cruel. Perhaps you should be up there with the throng.
I'm being realistic.
At the risk of raising old sores, realism's not your strong point. Don't worry. You and I can chat away to your heart's content. My lips are sealed. After all, I've had practice.
Don't be bitter.
I'm not.
I hope not.
In case I write nasty things about you.
I hope not.
Come on, Chang. What's it worth? Tell me all your secrets and I'll give you a good lunch and you get to keep a copy of the bill for your expenses.
You're impossible, Jules. Totally impossible. And you cheer me up. Let's do that. Let's have lunch. Officially. Openly, I mean.
You'll tell your wife.
Why not?
Because, as my young nephew would say, you haven't got the bottle.
Oh, well, come on.
Did she tell you I saw her last night?
This publishing affair, yes. Actually, she described you as thrusting.
Isn't that a bit rude? It was a bit tense. Mind you, I got a harder time from your puppet.
My what?
Big Lord Bowman, the Somerset smoothie himself.
Tom Bowman?
The unspeakable same. I had to sit next to him. What a groper. My right leg looks as if it belongs to a tag wrestler.
Oh, dear. I didn't know he was so attentive.
Another of your beautifully crafted understatements. Don't look so worried. Your wife was on the other side of the table.
Oh, poor you.
Poor me indeed. Not exactly my idea of a literary dinner, unless he was researching an essay on I, Claudius.
Well, what did you do?
Nothing I could do. I tried stabbing him with my high heel. The damn man thought I was playing footsie.
I'm sorry.
Well, don't be. I must say, I nearly called in here for a drink on the way home.
From the dinner? The bars would have been shut, even Annie's, surely.
Rubbish. It was only 10 o'clock.
What do you reckon, then, my lover? Do we put together a couple of speeches with big furrowed brows written across them, or what?
Me? I think we go for the old chat shows. Maybe a phone-in. Try that Nick Ross. When they do something Europe-wise, we get you one.
I need to have a standard speech, something I can use anywhere. Or bits of it. Hey, what about a magazine interview?
No, I think we milk that for a few weeks. Unless you've got something upcoming we can use for a peg.
Hey, I tell you what, Nick. Hmm? How about you and me nip over the Arkin? Brussels.
Bisto. Eh? Lion's Den. Get behind the bars. Tickle the Frenchman. Make the biggie speech. Click down the camera
board. I chuckled, yes?
Wicked witches running everywhere.
So, how do we do it?
Well, we, or rather you, ask front office for an away day to the commission.
Reason?
Been there before?
Never.
Reason?
Okay, then what?
Then you flesh press Delore and Co. and hold a press conference.
You think they'll come?
Well, I'll put the word out you've something to say. They'll come.
Won't be official.
Well, it doesn't matter. That double show. They never let each other out of their sight. One comes and
all be there. All we need is something special to say.
No, not quite, oh brave one. Not quite. All we need is something they want to hear. Doesn't mean we need something to say.
If you'll hang on a moment, you can talk to her yourself.
Rose, I...
That's right. Sorry. She's in the next room. Half a mo. Oh, Lady Bannister. It's that producer again. All right. Putting you through. Sorry about that.
Putting who through?
Lady Bannister's in your room. The television people.
For Mary?
You did call her, didn't you?
When?
I gave you the message. She'd phoned a couple of times.
You said it wasn't urgent.
I don't think it is. No. They've asked her on that... A thingy... I can't remember what it's called, you know. Comes after the 6 o'clock news.
Mary, whatever for?
I think it's about our book. That's what she said. Anyway, she's been to lunch with Polly, so come in to tell you all about it. Nice, isn't it?
I suppose so, yes.
You wanted something.
Did I?
When you came in.
Oh, yes. Have we got Lord Bowman's schedule for this week?
Well, I suppose so. You do mean this one, not next.
That's right. I want to make sure we're using him to the best advantage. Don't want him to chase all over the place if he doesn't have to.
I don't think he does he?
Anyway, see if you can get it for me, will you?
Well, I'm sure that'll be fine. And you'll send a car?
Won't be a moment.
Sorry, I missed that. Okay. See you then. Bye. Hello, darling.
Hello.
Sorry to take over your office. It's all rather exciting, isn't it?
I hope so. What exactly are you going to do?
Exactly, Charles. I don't know. But a nice young man telephoned this morning and said, would I like to come on his show, he called it, and talk about my book.
But you haven't finished it.
That apparently doesn't matter. The PR people are rather good at hyping. I'm being hyped, Charles. Don't you think that's rather smart?
It's also dishonest, especially as you're talking about something you haven't finished.
And you would know.
Writing a book, or rather not writing it, is a little different from managing the economy.
I could say, how do you know, but I won't. Anyway, he's sending a car and I'm to speak to the Nation.
What are you going to talk about?
He says they're interested in how I gather material.
How strange. I would have thought it pretty obvious.
Charles, you're so immensely clever.
No, it's like asking how to gather grapes. The claret's the thing, the real test.
Well, we Bowdeners have to get by on our flashy labels and the fact that we're cheap at half the price.
So it is dishonest.
You're being very aggressive. Is there something the matter?
Should there be?
I hope not.
Here you are. You can have your chair back. I must go home and make myself glam.
Actually, Mary, before
you
go...
I can lose half a stone by 6:30. I feel blobby.
I wanted to ask you...
I shouldn't have had lunch.
Last night...
Charles... Are you aware that cameras are supposed to make you look fat? Did you know that? I need to stick out the chest and suck in the cheeks. Yes? I'm sorry, Charles, what were you saying?
Doesn't matter. You get on. I'll see you this evening.
Don't forget I'm out, will you?
I didn't know that. Where?
Don't be silly, Charles. Of course you did. Wish me luck.
Mary?
Don't forget to watch. I'll wave. Bye.
I say the obvious thing to do. I've never been, and if I'm going to say something about Europe, what better place to start?
Let's hope Europe thinks so. Anyway, I've checked with front office. They've cleared it in principle.
Don't worry, couldn't Charlie Bannister just say yes?
As Nick so expressively pointed out, there are more woodcutters in this forest than Tom O'Glastonbury.
A cheek.
I thought it was very good. Well, as he said, front office knows, or should know, what everyone's doing, where they're doing it.
And to whom they're doing it.
Don't be obvious.
Why not? I made my first million by being obvious.
And the rest being tedious about it. Listen, Lord Bowman.
Oh, Tom, please.
Lord Bowman's as pleasant as I can be, I'm afraid. Now, we should have a reply by this afternoon. I'm just going through to see the chairman. If I have any news, I'll leave a message in the Lord's, right?
Thank you, nurse.
Good.
You know, Kay, there really is no need for this.
I happen to think there is every need for it. If he's upset...
It does.
Then you can easily make your feelings known to Mr. Baxter. I'd be happy to explain mine. Hello there. Oh, Lady Bannister, hello. I'm sorry. Would you excuse me? I'm late. Oh, dear. Something I'm wearing.
Oh, don't worry about her. She's upsetting everyone.
Including you, by the sound of it.
You wouldn't think life could be such a hassle. All I want to do is go to Brussels.
Moors and chips behind the Grand Place. How splendid. Can I come?
Why not?
Because that, my dear, would be the end of a beautiful friendship. For the moment, you can give me tea.
Can I? And what's in it for me?
Nothing. I'm about to be a star.
But you are, darling. You are. I keep telling you.
And I keep listening.
Well, then.
But now, I need to pick your brains. I need to say something rather clever tonight. Come on, Tom. What are the smartest people say?
Well.
Seems a good idea, but you have doubts about him or the idea itself?
Well, the idea is excellent. Coming from him, it would be. His instincts are so fine-tuned, it's a wonder GCHQ don't use him as an antenna.
Once you find a bone, you're not at all happy until you've buried it, are you?
Well, in Tom Bowman's case, I would demand at the very least a stake through the heart.
What does Dougal say?
Oh, he's so wrapped up in his JFK speech, he doesn't care.
When's he making it? Tomorrow or weekend?
Saturday. Embargoed copies go out on Friday night. Hints appear in the Saturday morning heavies. The Sundays will carry the story. He'll say more on the world this weekend. The Monday morning papers and the Today programme will follow it up.
Very impressive. Is this all you?
Nope. Young Nick. He's already got two lobby correspondents panting.
What about the editors?
Well, he says the younger correspondents are the best news. They're hungry for careers, so he's feeding them.
Well, this looks good as a first draft. Mind you, I'm not sure Dougal has quite mastered the Camelot role, but it'll serve its purpose.
He's actually got some old newsreel of Kennedy's inaugural speech. I think he's taking it quite seriously.
Dougal takes everything he does quite seriously.
Mm-hmm. Not quite everything.
That wasn't meant as a personal remark.
It was you who once told me that everything in this place was taken personally.
I also said only by those who were uncertain of themselves.
In the house, that's called a persecution complex.
Is that what you have, Kay?
Nope. But if I had, it'd be second-hand. There's a lot of it about.
Tom Bowman?
Oh, good Lord, no. I simply detest him.
Well, that's plain. Dougal?
Well, yes, as you ask. But that's it. You're prying, which I suppose is understandable. But it's unlike you. So, let's change the subject.
I apologise.
Oh, then I was right. It was out of character. I'm glad. I wouldn't like to think I was wrong about you.
Nor would I. Tell me...
Tell you what?
Why are you particularly glad?
I would have thought that might be obvious.
Go on.
Oh, that's unfair.
Perhaps we...
Excuse me, Sir Charles. I've gone through the schedule for Brussels. Looks good. No one else is going over. There's an ag and fish meeting, but that won't concern anyone outside East Anglia.
Right. Then, Miss Bennett, that seems all clear. Will Nick go with him?
I hadn't thought of that.
Oh, bet he has.
I imagine so. Might be a good idea anyway. His French is good.
Is that necessary?
Question of IB. Image balancing. Looks good, so we do.
Okay, I'll tell him. Presumably the front office will pick up the expenses?
Of course, it's part of your business. Hardly a pleasure trip.
He usually manages to combine the two, or at least his version of them.
And remember what I said now. Sit right back in the chair. It'll hold your tummy in. And then
smile a lot.
Lovely job. You will be great.
And thanks for that line. Hope I can remember it.
You will. Go on, off you go. Absolute joggle. Good luck.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, sorry.
Sorry, my fault.
No, I was looking the other way.
Oh, don't worry, so was I.
Nasty.
As an expert, you'd know.
Me? Oh, come on, my love. You mean last night? Just a bit of fun.
Well, next time you want just a bit of fun, try Soho. They get paid for it.
Okay. I apologize.
Am I supposed to be flattered?
Suit yourself, but then I expect you to. You fancy a drink?
No, thank you. Excuse me.
Off to see the boss, then.
What does that mean?
I saw you two chatting in the lobby. Heard you were friends.
Then you heard correctly. We are friends.
She told the Times.
If I thought you were suggesting anything else...
No, would I do that?
Probably, yes.
No, Miss Cameron. My guess is that if you wanted anything more than friendship, then you'd be off to Soho. After all, you seem to know the ropes. Bye.
I hope you don't think it's just a jaunt. We do have very important work to do here.
No probs, Chief, no probs. Quick away day, beads for the natives, say one for England, home again, jiggity jig.
I do hope it's going to be a substantial reflection on this office. You've made sure the right people know this was my idea.
Well, it was Tom's, if you remember.
Of course I remember. That's not what I said.
Roger.
Good. And one other point, you'll make sure Bowman keeps away from my JFK speech.
Bisco, got it done. I told him what he needs to say and...
I'm more concerned that he doesn't upstage me. This is very important. You do know that, don't you, Nick? Very important.
You said. Number 10's getting a copy in the morning.
Excellent. And television and radio expect me. Ah, there you are.
More or less.
Chairman's given this the nod. Front office pays, okay?
And Nick?
I should imagine so.
Well, don't imagine, my dear. Make sure.
Yes, sir.
What was that you said about more or less, Nick? I thought it was fixed.
Well, it is. But never trust those telly people. It'd only take a big story to break and all bets would be off.
My speech would be completely ignored, you mean?
The real world does go on, you know.
This is the real world.
That's arrogant, even for you.
I'm a realist. Real things happen. Tears are for wimps.
Oh, my God.
Shouldn't we be watching Lady Bannister?
Oh. I probably missed it. It started 10 minutes ago.
I do hope not. I'm dining with them tomorrow. Mary will expect me to have seen her. Ah, good. That's her. Well, turn it up.
I don't really get involved in politics, especially Europe. We go there for our holidays, as far as I'm concerned. Europe's a beach with nice food.
Cretins. What's so funny about that?
But doesn't it worry you that here we are in Europe, and yet we're frightened of what it might do to us?
Good question.
Not really. My attitude is rather like the late President Kennedy's.
What?
You remember? Ask what you can do for your country. Well, the same with Europe. Ask what you can do for Europe, and then it'll be yours and not some faceless bureaucrats in Brussels.
Oh,
Lynn. Oh, my God, Dougal.
What the hell's going on? Switch it off. What's happening, Nick?
Chief?
Don't chief me. That was my speech. My speech.
Oh, not anymore, it isn't.
How in God's name did she come out with that? Come on, I want to know. Now, Nick, now. Who told her?
Don't look at me, Chief. Not guilty.
This is a disaster.
Well, Dougal, as you said, you're a realist. Tears are for wimps, aren't they?
The House featured Julian Glover as Charles, Peter Kelly as Dougal, Ina Blair as Mary, Siobhan Redmond as Juliet Cameron, Jane Booker as Kay, Sheila Reid as Rose, Julian Dutton as Nick, and Bill Wallace as Tom Bowman. The producer was Neil Cargill.